me up on the mic. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday night service via Facebook Live. And I want to say that we had a wonderful day today. I hope you enjoyed the service this morning. I hope you was able to watch it this morning. But if not, we have you here this evening. We enjoyed the service this morning and enjoyed preaching some things about the dove and the eagle. And we know that the dove is the type of bird that wants to take flight, and the eagle is the type of bird that wants to fight. And my prayer is that this week we would all soar for the Lord above our problems, through our problems, and see what we might learn in the process. We're all still learning. But nonetheless, again, it's good to be here this evening. Brand new service, and we got Brother Randy again on the keyboard tonight, and as he was this morning. And so thank you, Brother Randy. And let's remember Brother David in our prayers. David Barker, he's at home. He's no fever, nothing like that. Just not feeling well today. And also let's remember the funeral visitation, the funeral service for Brother Jimmy Harper, and that's going to begin on tomorrow, 8/24 is the date, at the Jeff Eberhardt Funeral Home, Dallas, Georgia, between 5 and 8 p.m. That's visitation. And then on Tuesday, August the 25th at 2 p.m., I'm assuming it's going to be in the chapel there at the Jeff Eberhardt Funeral Home, will be Brother Jimmy's actual funeral. And so let's pray for the family. Let's pray for Miss Ruby. And as we heard and received a prayer request to pray for her during this time, not only for the obvious, the homegoing of her husband, but for her own health as well. And so we're praying for Miss Ruby Harper and the family tonight. Let's remember all of our requests, the things that we mentioned this morning. Let's continue to remember Miss Terry and family, Terry Clayton and family, as they begin a life. And after the homegoing of her mother, Miss Betty. And so we're praying for the family there. Let's remember Krista, Sapp, Ethan, and their recovery from COVID-19. Also, Mary Kelly on Wednesday. She goes for oral surgery. And let's remember John Ashworth, Mark Daly, and did I say John Ashworth? Okay, Mark Daly. And so, and all the other requests that we have on our prayer list. Again, and to see the list, to know all the requests in their entirety, just log on to calvaryministries.org. Click on the home page tab, and it'll drop down there, and you'll find the bulletin part. So you can download your own copy. Let's remember our world tonight. Let's remember, again, the upcoming elections. Let's remember our churches, our communities, our first responders. Just very thankful tonight for the people that we have to serve, that serves us and our communities to make life much more easier. So let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we pause for a moment and we say thank you for who you are and for what you do, Lord. Thank you for the service this morning. God, we pray for eagle wings this week. Give us eagle wings. Lord, help us to rise above faith over fear, fact over fiction. Lord, help us to stand on the promises of your word. I'm thankful for my church, Lord, and all the great help that we have, those with a heart to minister. Thank you for Brother Randy and his faithfulness, and all of those who make up Calvary Baptist Church. Thank you. Thank you for those watching tonight. I pray that you bless them in a very, very special way, oh Lord. And I pray that you'll be with us tonight in the service. Be with Brother Randy with what he has for us. And I pray when it comes preaching time that you'd help me to communicate, Lord, that which you put in my heart for this hour. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me mention two more things before Brother Randy sings. Next Sunday morning is going to be our Youth Sunday. Brother Brian and our young people will have the service and confirm this afternoon. But on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock a.m., September 13th is going to be our homecoming. And Brother Snyder will be here preaching for us in that service. And again, we're going to omit the food, but we will make up for this on another occasion. But homecoming on the 13th of September, 11 a.m. Thank you.
Which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't just a few more days down here to soul unworthy and so scarred by sin. But he did not despair. He started over again. And I bless the day. See, he wants me to stay, but when I stumble and fall and my vessel breaks, he just picks up those old pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. See, over me and makes me into his likeness. See, he fashions this clay. Thank God. Yes. A vessel of honor I am today, and it's all
that isn't music from the soul, I don't know what is. Thank you, Brother Randy. Thank you, thank you. I'm glad that he doesn't throw the clay away. I'm glad that Beulah Land is just in sight. A few more days, church, to travel, and we'll be out of here. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain. Those of us that are saved will be in heaven fixed. And there we shall be satisfied. What a blessing tonight for the singing. Again, we appreciate those we serve with here at Calvary. We love all of you, and thank you again for tuning in tonight. We're going to be in Revelation chapter number 2 this evening for a few moments. Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2 this evening. And there are, as many Bible students know, those that study the scriptures know, there are the seven churches of Asia Minor. And there is the church of Ephesus. There's the church of Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira. There's the church, chapter number 3 and verse number 1, Sardis, Philadelphia. Then there's the church of the Laodiceans. Seven churches of Asia Minor. And the other Wednesday night, we shared some things on what John saw. What John saw. And we looked at the fact that John was led to the isle called Patmos for the word of God and his testimony. And we know that it was a dark place and it was a lonely place. But yet it was a place that God showed some things to John. And we looked at the other Wednesday night. We looked at the seven golden candlesticks, which is in Revelation 1, in verse number 12. We looked at the seven stars, verse number 16. And we called attention to the fact that the Son of Man, verse 13, was in the midst of the seven candlesticks. So John had seen in chapter number 1, seven golden candlesticks, seven stars, and the Son of God. We know that the seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches. The Bible says to let our light shine so that men may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And so that's what the church is. It is a light to the community. It's a light to the world. Seven golden candlesticks. And then we have the seven stars. And these stars were the angels, the messengers, the pastors of these seven churches. A blessing is, in verse number 16, is where the Bible says, and he had in his right hand seven stars. I'm glad that the times I get up and preach and the times that I minister to the sheep of God, that I'm in his hand, and as I minister, it's good to know that I'm not in this thing alone. But then we see in verse number 13 that he's in the midst, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. It's good to know, and I'm glad to say tonight that the Lord is in the midst of it all. He's in the midst of his churches. He is with his people. What a blessing that is. But tonight we're going to take a look at one of these churches that we felt led to mention tonight. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. The other Wednesday we briefly mentioned some things out of Ephesus. We highlighted a couple things out of each church, actually, in the introduction of each church. But tonight I want us to look at the church of Smyrna. The church of Smyrna for a few moments. And before I go any further, I want to say that the key verse in really understanding the book of Revelation is Revelation chapter number 1 in verse number 19. And he says, write the things which thou hast seen. That takes care of chapter number 1. And the things which are, that is chapter number 2 and 3, the church age. And then he says, and the things which shall be hereafter. That's Revelation 4 all the way to the end of the book of the Revelations, the Revelation. Revelation 1:19, you might want to jot that down. That is key to understanding this book. So it says, write the things which thou hast seen, the seven golden candlesticks, the Son of God being in the midst of them, the stars in his right hand. Then he says, and the things which are, and that is present tense. He is speaking of these seven churches, and again, the things which shall be hereafter. That's chapter number 4 to the end of the book of Revelation. And so as we begin to look at the church of Smyrna, I want you to notice in verse number 8, the Bible says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them, which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I'm going to stop there in verse number 11. And again, I believe that these seven churches were literal churches. But also, I believe that each church gives a picture of something. And in our church world today, there can definitely be identified with our churches of today some of these similarities. For instance, in the church of Ephesus, here in the beginning of chapter number 2 in verse 1, he highlights and talks about how this church has left their first love, and how the Lord commands that they repent or the Lord will remove their candlestick from its place. And especially before the pandemic, across our land, you know, we can see, it's really not debatable, it's pretty obvious. At least it was before the pandemic. It's kind of hard to tell now because of what we're all going through. But you could tell, and you can visit certain churches, and there's a coldness about them. And even there's some churches that you could visit where people wouldn't say hey or hello. Or there was almost like a bitterness into that church, whatever church. It could be that that church has had its testimony removed, its influence taken away, because they didn't return to their first love. And so each church, as you see, has its picture that it gives. And there's the church of Smyrna we're going to talk about tonight. There's Pergamos, Thyatira, chapter 3, Sardis, Philadelphia, and then there's the church of the Laodiceans. And that's the lukewarm church. Let me just say this before we go any further. But that is the last church mentioned before Revelation 4 in verse number 1. And I referenced chapter number 1 in verse number 19 a moment ago, where Jesus told him, John, to write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And so chapter number 4 and verse number 1 gives plenty reference to the rapture. But the church of the Laodiceans was mentioned right before chapter number 4. The last church mentioned, the lukewarm church. In that particular church, and we'll get to Smyrna in a moment, but in that particular church, we see in verse number 15 of chapter 3, Jesus says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I believe that's the time we're living in, where there is this tremendous self-sufficiency. I have all that I need. I don't need God. Of course, that's been a common thread since the beginning of time, is that I can do it on my own. I've got all I need, you know, up until this present day. But that is indeed the last church mentioned before chapter 4 in verse number 1. Now, back to verse number 8 of chapter 2, the church in Smyrna. So what is it tonight about the church of Smyrna that separates itself from all the rest? What are some things that we can glean from this church tonight that could help us on a corporate level, but also an individual level? Well, let's look into these verses. We'll see what we can glean. Number one, I want you to notice the addressee. The addressee. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. And the writer says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write. And so John was given, again, the things which thou hast seen and the things which are. And so now John is receiving instruction to write to these churches, and in particular, this church, the church of Smyrna. And we see the addressee, it's the church in Smyrna. But more so, it's to the angel of the church in Smyrna. You see, these words, what John saw, what he was told to write, was given him, and it was to be given to the pastor, the angel, the messenger of the church. And then he would yet speak to the church. And so we see the addressee. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. Right. And again, that word angel there, it means delegate. It means messenger. It means pastor. It also means star. And he describes that as the verses we read earlier in chapter number 1 and in verse number 16. And he had in his right hand 7 stars. And verse number 20 tells us that those stars are the angels of the churches. The angels of the churches are the messengers of the churches, the pastors. And so John is addressing the church of Smyrna. He is writing this letter. He is giving it, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna. Right. He's writing it. It's to the pastor, but for the church. And so we see the addressee, the church of Smyrna, but more specifically, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, the messenger, the pastor. And then the pastor would address the conditions of the church. Number 2, the church of Smyrna, we see the addressee. But then I want us to look at some attributes here. The attributes. And more specifically, the attributes or some characteristics of the Lord. Notice again in verse number 8, he says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write. He says, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And so just a little bit of background before we get into this particular point. It's to be said that the church of Smyrna was and did suffer extreme persecution. And because of that, they were reduced to poverty. And so we have a poverty-stricken church here. And so when the Lord is addressing through John to the pastor, to this church, He gives some of his attributes. Now, why does he do that? He says, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Why does the Lord give some of his attributes, give some of his characteristics, some truths, some facts about himself and his accomplishments to this church? Well, as I just stated a moment ago, they, because of early persecution, they were reduced to poverty. They were against all odds, so to speak. In fact, the church of Smyrna is known, and it pictures the persecuted church. The church that is in poverty, that is struggling. And so I believe that the Lord here, he not only gives the addressee, and he gives it to the church of Smyrna, more specifically to the angel, to the pastor, but then he gives some attributes. And he gives these attributes to encourage this poverty-stricken church. He says, these things saith, speaking of himself, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And so the Lord is letting this church know that I'm aware of your persecution. I'm aware of your poverty. But I want you to know that before you were in this situation, I was first. And after you're out of this situation, or whatever happens in this situation, I am last. Whatever your church does with this situation, I am last. I was before your situation, and I am after your situation. He says, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I have power. I believe that we can glean individually a message from this. That whatever situation that we're involved with in life, we may be in a place of poverty in our life. We may be reduced of some sorts in our life. We may not have strength we feel for tomorrow in our life. But let us remember, he is the first and the last. Before we ever got to this place, he was here. And after we get out of this place, he's going to be here. He was the one that was dead. Now he's alive. And so the Lord is encouraging this poverty-stricken church that he is a resurrected Lord. And he's very, very aware of their situation. Tonight I want to say that the Lord is aware of your situation. Whatever situation that you may be faced with, a family situation, financial situation, mental situation, parental situation, whatever situation across the spectrum that you may be facing, he was there in for you before that situation, and he'll be there for you after that situation, during that situation. He was the dead, or he died upon the cross, but he was buried, and he is alive forevermore. This church needed to hear a message about that from their pastor. And so can you imagine when the pastor would get up and all of these things taking place, persecution, poverty, and he would get up and he would say, number one, church, I want you to know, in the middle of our situation, we serve a God that was first and last. We serve a God that was dead and is alive. And as I stand here tonight at Calvary Baptist Church, I hear sirens on the outside. We're in the middle of a pandemic, worldwide pandemic virus. There is racial tension in our world. There is poverty in our world. But yet the Lord wants me to remind all of us, before we ever got to this place, he was here. And after this situation is over, he'll still be here. He has always been the ever-present Lord. He was dead and now he's alive. We don't serve a dead God tonight. We serve a living Lord tonight, one that knows our situation and that is well able to sustain us. And so we see the attributes. He says to this, within this letter, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. One of my favorite verses is Hebrews 12:2, where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Lord is the one who blazed the trail for us to go down. And he's the one that will carry us down this trail called life. In 1 Timothy chapter number 3, in verse number 15, notice this. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, listen, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so what does that mean? How does that play out in our life? What does it matter? Well, it matters everything when you're going through a time of poverty, a time of racial tension, a time of persecution. And we know that the persecution upon the church has already started. It's been started from Bible days, but it's growing rapidly. In everything that's going on in our world, it is imperative that we know we serve a living God. And Paul says, which is the church of the living God. So we have this church in Smyrna. And John has received instruction. And he has wrote it down. And he has sent it to the pastor of this church. And he is letting his congregation know that the Lord is first and last. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the trailblazer. He's the one that was dead and is alive. I want to say that he's alive tonight. He is making intercession for us. We have a throne room of grace that we can enter into. We know that he hears our petitions. We belong to him. And we have a clean heart. But not only that, and I'm moving quick tonight, but we see the addressee, the church in Smyrna. We see the attributes. He says, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. But then I want you to notice in verse number 9, the awareness. The awareness. He says in verse number 9, I know thy works in tribulation, in poverty. And notice this in parentheses, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. This is a letter of encouragement to this church. Now, he tells them that he's aware of their situation. And what's wrapped up in their situation is a few things here. But in every church, the Lord gives evidence of his awareness of what's going on in these churches. But here he says, I know thy works. That word know there speaks for itself, but it means awareness. It means awareness. One of my favorite chapters in the book of Psalms is Psalm 139. Where it gives the omniscience of God. God's awareness. David in that chapter, he speaks of that. He says, the Lord knows my uprising, my downsitting. He understands my thoughts afar off. And he mentions all of those things about the Lord's omniscience. And here, the Lord is is giving us this letter to the church of Smyrna. And it's an encouraging letter because he's telling them that he's aware. Number one, I know thy works. The word works here means to toil. It means hard labor. It means that they were toiling as a church. They were laboring hard. And I believe it goes without saying that that the church always has a remnant of those who labor hard, those who pull in the hours and really makes the ministry work. And I want to say again, thank you to our people who labor hard around here, even during a pandemic. I'm thankful for Brother Randy and all the hats that he wears. Never says no, always says yes. And many times he's there before I even ask him. He's already there. And Brother David on the keyboard, and CJ, and you know, and everybody that partakes, Miss Catherine and Brother Allen, and we can go on and on and on, and those that are in training in the sound room. You know, everybody that takes part, those who, when there is a death in the church family, get the word out. Miss Claudia, and how we come together and we make food arrangements or some sort of gift to the family to help during their time of need. That's toiling. There's always been a remnant in a church that toils, that rows, that is good stewards of the grace of God, that really pulls things in and makes the ministry work. Well, the Lord says, I know thy works. Keep in mind, church, this was a church of poverty. They were persecuted. And because of their persecution in early days, their ministry, their church was reduced to poverty. And Jesus says that, I see what you're doing, trying to make things work, trying to reach out to the community while in even going through a time of persecution, doing everything that you're doing. It is a labor of love. He says, I know thy works, which means to toil. And then he says, in tribulation, that word tribulation, it means pressure. It means being in the cooker. This could be reference to their persecution. But also, there's going to be other things that add into that pot of tribulation. Who knows what it can be? All that was entailed when he says, I know your tribulation. We preached this past Wednesday night. We mentioned some things out of John 16, verse 33. But when it comes to tribulation, Jesus says in John 16, 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, pressure, be in the cooker. But he goes on and he says, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so tonight there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be pressure. We know that. We've all been experiencing that as a world, God's green earth. But to this particular church, for them to know that the Lord knows of their tribulation, for the Lord to know that he's aware of their toiling, listen, it ought to continually be sounded from the pulpit that God is aware of what you're going through. God is aware tonight of what you're going through. God is aware of what we're going through corporately as a church. But God is aware of what you're going through tonight individually. He knows your works, your toiling, and he knows your tribulation. He knows your pressure. Anybody under any pressure tonight? Jesus said in John 16, 33, he said, in me these things have I written unto you. Everything he said to his disciples, he said, I told you all of those things because I'm getting ready to go. But I want you to know, trouble will continue, but in me you shall have peace. So tonight I want to say that there's peace still to be found during a world that is filled with trouble, during a world filled with tribulation and pressure, there is still peace to be found in Jesus. He said, in me ye shall have peace. peace. And so the Lord here, he's letting this church know that he's aware. And he says, I'm aware of your works. I'm aware of your tribulation, your pressure. He says, I'm aware of your poverty. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty. The Lord knew exactly where they were at financially. He knew because of early persecution, they were reduced to poverty. But I want you to notice something. This has always been a blessing to me. But in these next words here, in parentheses, he says, in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. He said, you may be in poverty when it comes to balancing out the checkbook. And you may just be getting by or not even getting by as a church, Church of Smyrna. But he says, don't mistake it. You're rich. You're rich. You see, I believe the Lord here was sending a message to this church about their identity. And let me say tonight that who I am is not based upon what I have or what I don't have. Who I am, Justin Hales, or who you are, is not based upon what you have or what you don't have. And who you are and what I am is not based upon how many victories I have in life or how many failures I have in life. Because if I have come to the cross and if you have come to the cross of Jesus, your identity is found in him. Whether you succeed, he loves you. You're his. Whether you fail, he loves you. You're his. Whether you're abounding in riches or you're suffering need and want, you are his. So many people tonight struggle with identity crises, trying to figure out who they are. And when they have a pocket full of money, they feel like they're somebody and they have friends. But it's when they don't have any money, they go on this guilt trip or they feel like that they're nobody. Listen, if you have a pocket full of money, great. If you don't have a pocket full of money, and Jesus is your Savior, that's all that matters, because your identity is wrapped up in him tonight. In fact, in the book of Galatians, chapter number 2, in verse number 20, this is what Paul says. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, you're looking at me and you say, that's Justin Hales. And I want to tell you, you're wrong. What you're looking at a life that is hid in Christ with God. Justin Hales has been crucified. The person you see now is a redeemed person. Yeah, I have the label, Justin Hales, but I'm a redeemed person. I am a saved person. Doesn't matter if I succeed in life. Doesn't matter if I fail in life. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks of me. My identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor, you have plenty, you're suffering need, you're living under a bridge, or you're in a mansion high up on the hill. As long as Jesus is your Savior, that is what means the most. And so back to our verses, this church of Smyrna. He says, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but wait a minute, you're rich. You're rich. Some of the happiest, contented people that I know, have known, and rub shoulders with are those who don't have a lot. Physically, don't have a lot financially, but they have Jesus. And that's not just a phrase I'm throwing out there. That's not just a cliche. But that's the truth. If you have Jesus and He is your Savior, you are contented with Him. And when we find our contentment with Him, doesn't matter what life throws at us. Like Paul said, he said, I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to be abased. He says, I have learned in all things therewith to be content. And tonight, if the Lord is your Savior, you can be content. You can be content. Doesn't matter about the financial. Doesn't matter about keeping up with the Joneses. No offense, Joneses, whoever you are. And so he says, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Then he says, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. He was aware of their persecution. He even said that I know that there are some who actually call themselves Christians that are persecuting you. He said, I know that there are some Jews who claim to be full-blooded, but really they're not. Really they're not. They may have the outward sign of circumcision, but have the inward circumcision of the heart. They have not, and because of that, they're bitter and they're rude and they're unkind. And the Bible says that they are the synagogue of Satan. It's not uncommon for wolves to sneak into church, you know. There are so many wolves out there in sheep's clothing, and they're out there wanting to destroy and wanting to make life miserable for many. But tonight we see that the Lord was aware of their persecution. He says, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. His awareness. We mentioned his attributes in verse number 8. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. We mentioned the addressee in verse number 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write. That's the verses we had in mind to deal with tonight. And as we get ready to wrap things up, the Lord just wanted me to say tonight that He's aware of your situation. He wants you to know that your identity of who you are has nothing to do with the circumstance you may be in. You may be in a circumstance, a situation tonight beyond your control. The Lord wants you to know that doesn't identify who you are. That situation isn't writing the rest of your story. His mercies are new every morning. He is there to lead, guide, instruct, direct. If you're saved by the grace of God, He is your identity. Bad situations, good situations, fine. We'll be content in all areas because Jesus is our Savior. He's aware of the situation. He was first before it went bad. He's going to be after when we're glad. He was in the ground and now He's alive. He is making intercession for us. What shall we fear tonight? The Church of Smyrna, I hope it was a blessing to your hearing. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. I pray that something was said that may encourage someone tonight. If so, then everything would have been worth the while. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Virtual invitation. If you need to pray right where you're at, you do so in the very first verse. As Brother Randy plays, does what he needs to do.
I'm kind of
Need to pray tonight? You pray.
No, say goodbye.
Let Jesus be your identity.
Will there be spoken? For time won't matter.
He's your provision. He's your identity. Why don't you trust him tonight? God's been good to us today. Still time to pray tonight. Like that eagle. Rise above.
There's just a few
more days of travel. Day now.
And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal.
Appreciate that, Brother Randy, and we hope that you have